Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us this evening. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. It must seem strange to some out there that we Christians, especially those who follow the church calendar, often do things that are a little bit weird. For example, tonight, you've come here for me to dirty up your faces. Now, when we were children, we got in trouble for that. Or, you know, mum would spit on her hanky or whatever and clean up our face. But we come here to get our faces dirty. What's going on with that? And for those, our Catholic friends and probably the Anglican as well, I'm not sure about that, had a morning service as well as an evening. The morning means you do it before you go to work, so or go shopping or everything else. Those of us who only have the evening service, you know, you're only going to scare Misty when you get home. You know, but it's still, we come here to have ashes put on us. Why ashes? Ashes are used for more than one reason. For starters, in the Old Testament, this was often the way people mourned. When things went horribly wrong, they would wear sackcloth and ashes. They would put ashes on themselves to signify the great distress, the great tragedy that they were going through. This was often a way of also saying to God, look at me. I can't help myself. I need you. Now, of course, this wasn't just Israel that did this. This was a common practice in the ancient world. And from what I understand in some Middle Eastern places, it's still done. But with our ashes, we emphasise that from dust we equate ashes also with dust, because you know when we look at the ashes, they're not much different to dust, are they? So, but dust, we say, from dust you have come, to dust you will return. There's that emphasis on our mortality. That we didn't pre-exist. We're not creatures that are just souls that are then placed in a body and leave a body. We're bodily creatures. God created us, body and soul, together. We're told that, going back to Genesis, and especially Genesis 2, that God didn't create man out of nothing. He could have done that, couldn't he? He's God. Creating things out of nothing is one of his specialties, one could argue. But he took things he had already created. He took the dirt and formed man. He took the man, in particular one of his ribs, and formed woman. Our existence, according to Scripture, is totally dependent on our Creator God, isn't it? We wouldn't exist if not for our Creator God. We have come from dust. But since the fall, since we were tempted by the evil one and we listened to him, since we rebelled against our Heavenly Father, dust is also where we
end up.
Exactly right. And it's one of those great equalizers, isn't it? The richest man in the world, or richest woman, will one day die. They will be buried or cremated or shot into space, whatever happens. But they will eventually break down into the particles from which they are made. Death comes to all. It is the great certainty. And as we die, as some have said, we leave this world with exactly what we came into this world with. We can't take our treasures, can we? We can't take our homes, we can't take our fine clothes, we can't take our libraries, that's a bit of a tough one. We can't take anything. In fact, when we fell, when we took that fruit, we were told the result would be death. Death. And that death still haunts us today. A few days ago, I was browsing Facebook while I was waiting for something to happen, and saw a post from one of my old friends back in Brisbane. Her and her husband, when I was a teenager, a young adult, opened their home to me. A lot of went to the same church that they did. They were very much mentors to me. I knew their kids well. And this post really hit me hard, because their oldest son, it was the funeral notes for their oldest son. He was 10 when I was 20. And so I never really knew him as a man. For me, the image is of a 10-year-old. And as you know, when you see a son, a daughter die before their parents, isn't there something in you that cries out, this is wrong? This shouldn't happen. There's something, I think, not just for us as Christians, but for humanity, that is rebelling against death. As in, there's something within us that tells us this wasn't what we were meant for. But things have gone horribly wrong. That is a son dying before his parents. But it's just as bad the other way. My mum passed away back in 1996. Mark was 3. Luke wasn't even a thought at that stage. Well, we were trying for Luke, but he was still a year and a bit away. Throughout the years, especially when they were young, but even today, there's this sense of wrongness that I can't tell her things. I can't tell her the achievements that my children are making. I can't tell her that we're about to have a grandchild, that she's about to become a great-grandmother. So it's not just when those younger than us pass away. Those older than us pass away, those similar ages, it all just feels wrong. But at the same time, it is something that we need to be reminded about, that we are fragile. We are mortal. And that when we die, into whose hands are we going? What's going to happen? And we'll talk more about that shortly. But let's just come back our Western world has become very good at hiding death. Now, especially if you live in the city. If you live in the city, and especially if you never have a pet, the only thing you see die are sort of flies and mosquitoes, isn't it? Squish them. For those brought up on farms, those brought up, like many of you, and you have brought people up, life and death are an everyday matter. I remember a few months ago, during a children's talk, Layla started to talk about how Dad killed such and such an animal and what he did with it and stuff. Because it was a natural, it was, no, it could be wrong and still be normal, if you get what I'm saying here. It's, death is not hidden when you're in the farming life, especially if you've got farm animals. But it used to be that people were born in their homes and they died in their homes. Kids grew up in that. Death was a part, but we try to hide it. We try to pretend like it's not there at times. And that's why on this, the start of Lent, one of the things we are doing is reminding ourselves of our mortality. I don't know about you, but over the years I've been to a number of funerals, and secular funerals I actually find a bit yuck. This may be a personal bias, but I was actually reading in a book looking at Lent and Ash Wednesday, and it was commenting on, this was an Anglican priest in the US, and he was saying that the song that appears, that is used most, you know, the most popular song for when men pass away, and sometimes for women as well, who are not in the church. This is for secular funerals. I'm not sure if you could guess what it is, but if you're a Frank Sinatra fan, so this is going back a bit, I did it my way. And that is something that the world thinks is the highest compliment you can pay to a bloke. That they went through life, that they resisted, you know, the bullies, that they resisted the government, that they resisted everyone, and did it my way. How far is that from the gospel message? And though they may have done it my way, where have they ended up? The same place. If they had done it some other way, they'd still be the same place. Different times, maybe, but there's a futility. And I don't know if you've ever read through the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. It can be a bit of a bit of a weird book at times. But one of the things that it's pointing out is that why do we go to all this effort to do all this stuff when all we end up is dead and in the ground? I build up great wealth and my son wastes it. What's the point? You know, there's a futility because he's looking at how the world is without God. When we try to do it my way, it goes horribly wrong. So whilst we do have these ashes to remind us of our mortality, how do we receive the ashes? In the shape of a cross. Because as we heard Paul say in 2 Corinthians, God made him who was without sin to be sin, so that we might receive his righteousness. We are nothing without God. But with him, with what he has done through Jesus, our life does not end in death. Our life gets more glorious through death.
We go to be with our Saviour. He has said he will never leave us. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. That is why Christians over the centuries and still today are often portrayed as dying cheerfully, rejoicing as they're being tortured. Why? Because this is a temporary blip until I get to be with my Saviour. We receive the ashes in a cross to remind us that though we are mortal, our Saviour is eternal. God became one of us, but God himself has no beginning or no end. He who is immortal became one of us and died for all of us. This leads us to the other big theme of the Lenten period, is that of repentance. What is going to be our response? We are going to fall down at the cross and hand over our sins. We're going to keep coming back to him. We're going to keep coming back to our baptism. Because let's face it, in our baptism, we also died, didn't we? Think of the words that are said in a baptism. We go into the water. We are drowning. We die with Christ. And then we are raised with him. The ashes also tie back to our baptism, to the need that we've got to continually repent. We've got to keep remembering our baptism, drawing it back. As a nice image in one of my devotionals this morning said, the waters of baptism never dry on us. I quite like that image. We're always wet with the waters of baptism because they are effective now as they were the day you were baptized. We messed up. Humanity fell. God provided the solution. He became one of us. God's Son became human. His life, his death, his resurrection is what saves us. Not what we do, not through any actions we do. Through this period of Lent, it is a time of reflection, of looking at yourself and saying, how do I measure up when it comes to being someone who puts their trust in Jesus? How am I going as a Jesus follower? And I don't know about you, but I've got lots of room for improvement. And as I see that also brings you back to repentance. God loves you. Jesus died for you. You are a son, a daughter of the Most High God. Not through anything that you have done, but through what Jesus has done for you. I would encourage you, my brothers and sisters, over the next 40 days, to spend some time each day in that reflection, some time in prayer, thanking God for all that he has done through our Lord Jesus. To keep coming back to the cross, to keep handing over your sin, to keep receiving that forgiveness. Whilst we concentrate on this for the 40 days of Lent, let us never forget that this is a lifestyle that Luther argued should be just that, a lifestyle, not just for Lent, This attitude should be there all the time. Remember, God loves you. Jesus died for you. The Father raised him from the dead. You are forgiven. You are a son, a daughter of the Most High God. Praise be to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.